In his helpful book called Necessary Endings, author Henry Cloud asserts, being alive requires that we sometimes kill off things which we were invested, uproot what we previously nurtured, and tear down what we built for an earlier time. In other words, sometimes we need to burn our bridges to the past and move on into the future. Jesus said, anyone who wants to follow me must put aside his own desires and conveniences and carry his cross with him every day and keep close to me. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it, but whoever insists on keeping his life will lose it. What profit is there in gaining the whole world when it means forfeiting oneself? And most of us have seen videos or television enactments of the space shuttle launch, beautiful scene of the rocket going up. And maybe you've heard in the background, the mission control, some of what they say. One of the things you might hear is the phrase, negative return. Negative return. According to NASA's official website, negative return occurs when the space shuttle, quote, is flying too far downrange and too high to return to the launch site in the event of an engine failure. In other words, it sounds just like what it is. It's the point of no return. They can't go back. And what Jesus is saying is, if you want to follow me, you have to reach the point of no return. Your previous identity, your purpose in life before you encountered Christ, you can't go back to that. If you want to follow Jesus, that's all surrendered because you now have a new identity and a new purpose. What we're going to see today is that you need to let go of what you've got in order to get what God has for you. In other words, you have to burn your bridges. That's our series theme. We need to let go of what we've got right now and move forward in order to get what God has for us instead of clinging to what we've always had. The simple fact is it's so easy to miss what God has for you because you're unwilling to let go of what you have or what you've done or how hard God has worked in your life. To miss out on God's best because you're holding on to the good thing you got going right now. To miss God's future plans because you're stuck in the past. And my friends, I would simply say there is no park or reverse when you're driving with God. It's forward movement. In fact, we're called to walk by faith. That's the Christian life, walk by faith. It implies we're moving forward, not backward, not in circles. We're always moving. We're not running. We're not sitting. It's not the sitting of faith. It's the walk of faith. So here's the question as we get started today. Are you willing to embrace a walk of faith into God's future for your life, even though it may be different than anything you've ever known before? Are you willing? Will you say yes? Or will you hold on to what you have? Are you willing to surrender the things you've been invested, you have invested in, to walk away from it you previously nurtured in order to reach the altitude that God has destined for your life? Or will you hold on to what you've built and turn back to what you've always had? Now, I want to be honest. Let's just be honest. That's not our first instinct. Our first instinct, our natural instinct, is to play it safe, to hold on to what we have. That's our instinct. Think of the Israelites. They were enslaved for generations in Egypt. And then God brought a deliverer, Moses, miraculously rescued them, kind of completing that deliverance with that wonderful Red Sea parting. And now what's ahead of them? What's ahead of them? What is it? The promised land. The land of milk and honey. He's moving them toward that. And they get there and they send spies and they're tasting the fruit. Wow, it's good. But guess what? It's unfamiliar. And the folks there are formidable. And so what did they do? It says they got together and they said, we should get a leader and go back to Egypt. You know, we have interesting memories. And sometimes the wonderful good old days of the past weren't necessarily good and old. They weren't so good. Certainly wasn't good for them in Egypt, but it was better than the unknown future in their minds. And so they lost out, and not one of them ever entered into the promised land. So that's the question. Are we willing to take that step of faith to move forward with God, or are we going to stay with what we're comfortable with? Are you clinging to the past so tightly that you're forfeiting what God wants to do in the future? You have to let go of the past, let go of your fears in order to receive the promise God has for you. And that's exactly what Moses did. We looked at his life. I mean, here he is at the palace, all the comforts, the privilege. And he's not exactly walking into something really good, but he's willing to do that. To obey God, he moves forward. And that's what God is calling us to do. And today we're going to look at another Old Testament character who did the same thing. He burned his bridges to the past. In fact, he literally burned stuff, okay? This is not a metaphor in his case. He burned his farming equipment, his plowing equipment. His name is Elisha. And as a farmer, that's a pretty important thing to have your plow, right? But he burned it as a statement that he's moving forward. So if you would, turn in your Bible to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19, verse 19. We want to learn about letting go of what we have in order to gain what God wants to give us. And we see this illustrated in the life of Elisha. It says in verse 19, 1 Kings 19, "So Elijah went from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat. He was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair." Now you remember who Elijah was, right? It says Elijah went from there. Elijah was that fiery prophet who, you know, he went toe-to-toe and brought fire down from heaven on Mount Carmel. He went toe-to-toe against the prophets of Baal. Amazing, interesting character. We really don't know much about his origins. He's a bit like Melchizedek in that way. But he was a very unique kind of guy. He liked to be outdoors. He liked living and spending extended periods of time in caves and caverns. At one point, he was fed by ravens. On another occasion, performed a miracle with a few drops of oil, a handful of flour to feed a family during famine. All these miraculous things he did. He was a fiery prophet, often calling down judgment. And now his assignment from God is about to end. So God tells him, it's time for you to anoint a successor. I had my eye on someone who's going to take it from here. You pass the baton, and then it's going to be his job. And that person is Elisha, son of Shaphat. Shaphat means the judge. Elisha's a lot different than Elijah. Elisha's a family man. He's probably fairly wealthy. And what we read here in this first verse is they're out in the fields. It seems as though he's supervising the servants. And there are 12 yoke of oxen. And the common practice in that day was to use one yoke of oxen per plow. So we have 12 plows going through the field, and behind one of them is Elisha. So he's supervising, and yet he's also working. He's behind the plow. Interesting. His life is very interesting. And about that time, they're out there on a typical day. And Elijah, it seems as though he's on the other side of the Jordan River. They're in the plains of Jordan. And he crosses over, comes out in the field, and stands by Elisha. Now, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't need to, because the action that he takes speaks volumes. It says, Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. You know, it's one of those coat giveaways, right? Give a coat to someone. No, of course not. So what does it mean? What does it mean when he puts his cloak around him? Some have said that perhaps it is communicating, in part at least, a type of adoption, a spiritual adoption. And we know that when Elijah was taken from him sometime later, what was it that Elisha said? Do you remember? Father, oh my father, as he watched him ascend up into the cloud. So there may be some truth in that. Perhaps it did have some connotation of spiritual adoption. But primarily it signified, it was a symbolic act actually, that signified the mantle of prophetic ministry was being placed upon Elisha. He was calling him into the guild of the prophets to be his protege, to follow after him. He would train him and then release him. That's what he's doing. So what does that mean for Elisha? Think about the implications. Put yourself behind his plow for a moment. Imagine his life up to this point. And this day, a typical day, like any other day you've had, I've had, he's had. And now suddenly this mantle comes upon him. What is he going to do? Think of what it will mean. He doesn't know all the details. That's not been given to him. But he does know it'll change his life forever. It'll change his life forever. And that's how God works when he comes into our lives. He's writing a grand story. Our lives are brought into that. And we have the wonderful privilege of contributing to the grand story God's writing. It's not my story. God doesn't come and make my story wonderful. My story is wonderful as it's part of God's story. And the same was true for Elisha. So he doesn't know what it means to be a prophet, but he does know this. It's going to be dangerous and it's going to be very difficult. Elijah had been running for his life. King Ahab and Jezebel had slaughtered many of the prophets. And they threatened him, and he's on the run. And now Elisha's like, I'm all in. I'm all for that. Let's go. Let's go for it. He knows it will be dangerous. He knows it will be difficult, but that's about all he knows. So what is he going to do? Is he going to say yes? Or is he going to say, you know, let me think about this, pray about this. I don't think I want to do this. It's a big decision. I think of that day in his life and all the emotions that must have been swirling, the thoughts racing. And I think of Moses on that day after he had killed the Egyptian. And the next day when he's speaking to the other Israelites and they say, oh, you're going to kill one of us too? And just imagine the impact and all the things that are going through his mind, and he knows everything is going to change now. And God does that. He comes into our lives and speaks to us, sometimes in a routine day, sometimes a unique situation. And we have to recognize he's calling us into something. What are we going to do? How are we going to respond? What is Elisha going to do? Well, the text tells us in verse 20, Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. He left his oxen and ran after Elijah. It reminds me of those fishermen, Peter and Andrew, James and John, when Jesus encountered them along the Sea of Galilee. Remember what they did? It says, they immediately left their nets and followed him. And that's what he did as well. Levi did the same thing when Jesus encountered him there at his tax booth. It says he left his tax booth and went with Jesus. Jesus came to his home. Even though none of them had any idea what the future really would hold. They only knew God was calling him to step out in faith and move forward into the path God had for them. And they said yes. And in so doing, they each reached that point of negative return. Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, he said, and then I will come with you. Don't you think that's a reasonable request? It is, I think. I think it's reasonable because he knows his life's going to change. He's been with them. He's a family kind of guy. He enjoys being with his family. Now he's not going to be with them. So he said, hey, can I go say goodbye? Elijah essentially allows him. He said, go back. What have I done to you? In other words, I think what he's saying is this. You know what I've done. Go back and say goodbye, because the implications are very strong and very determinative for your future. So go ahead and do that. So he goes back to do that. And again, Elijah, although he doesn't know the long-term full implications and certainly the details of what his life will be, he knows it will change forever. And that's why he wants to say goodbye. In verse 21, it says, so Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. So it reminds me of Levi. Remember his story? He threw a party for Jesus, a celebration, after he invited Jesus into his home. He threw this big party. That's what it seems Elisha's doing. And whether the party occurred in the field where they were or back at the house is hard to determine. It seems like it was probably the latter. But he gathers together friends and family and he says, hey, we're going to have some celebration. Meatloaf is on the menu. Like the prodigal son when he came home and his father slaughtered fattened calf. They slaughter the animals. They have this grand celebration. Something new is happening, something exciting. God is calling me into something different, something new. And I want you all to be part of that. It's an amazing step of faith. And, you know, I have to say, I put myself in this position, and perhaps you can do that too if you think about it. I wonder what his family thought. I wonder what his friends thought. You know, for those of us who know the Lord, who trust God, we understand what it means to walk by faith, at least to some extent. But people who don't know God, who have no comprehension, they think that's crazy, right? It's foolish. You're doing what? You're leaving your job to go where? That's often what happens. And if we're truly going to enter into the life God has for us, we have to have a single focus. And as we talked in the last few weeks, that song, I've decided to follow Jesus, there's no turning back. And there are even some verses of that chorus that talk about that, that our friends sometimes don't go with us. Though no one join me, still I will follow. And that's the situation Elisha's now in. So let's look now. He's having this celebration. He didn't exactly go home and fire up the gas grill. Let's look at what he used to cook these steaks. What did he use to cook the steaks? It says he burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and give it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out to follow Elijah and become his attendant. I think that is a picture of walking by faith. He torched his business equipment, okay? What if he changes his mind in a week or two? What if he decides in 3 weeks that this thing with Elijah is not the cup of tea? I thought it was. It doesn't really suit me. I want to go back. He's saying clearly here, there is no going back. I want everyone to know I'm burning my bridges. I'm walking forward by faith. I'm not going back. What an amazing, amazing statement of faith. And again, I have to say, that's not my initial reaction usually. And maybe you're like me, maybe not. But I want to know the details. I want to know what I'm getting into. I want to see the contract. I want to have some salary negotiations. I want some clauses that talk about how I can get out of it. I want some guarantee of success. I want to kind of hedge a bit and say, you know, this seems to work or not work, or I think it'll be good or not good. I want to know that up front before I burn my bridge and make sure I can't go back. But he just said, this is it. I don't know. I haven't received any map of where we're headed, any detailed instruction for my job. I just know I'm supposed to follow this guy right here. And so I'm going to do it. And there is no turning back. In fact, I'm burning down my past life. I'm burning it down because I'm not going back to it. You know, that's God's way. That's God's way. That's what faith is about. Is he calls us to follow him, and he doesn't tell us what that fully means. He only gives us light for the next step. And as we take each step, he lights the way. We can't get a long beam and look clear down the road and then decide if it's the direction we want to go. He wants to know if we're willing to take the next step. That's his way. And Jesus minces no words about the cost and the difficulty. In Matthew, he said, anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Anyone who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And anyone who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. You need to let go of what you've got in order to get what God wants to give you. And sometimes that means leaving important things behind, and even people. That's what Elisha understood, which is why he asked for permission to go say farewell to his family. Following Jesus means burning your bridges, torching your past, removing any and all obstacles to full surrender and commitment to God's call. So here, let's just be very specific now. Let me ask you a very specific question. What plows do you need to burn? What plow do you need to burn? What are you clinging to? It's prohibiting you, preventing you from forward movement into all that God has for you. What are you holding back for? Is it your comfort zone? Your comfort zone? Is it your safe spot, kind of on the sidelines of God's advance of his kingdom? You're kind of on the sideline. You're kind of along for the ride, and you like that. Maybe a plow that's holding you back is your small ideas about what God wants to do in your life and how he wants to use you. And you have this small little picture, this small understanding, and you aren't willing to take any steps that would go beyond that. Does that need to be burned down? And my friends, if there's a conscious, deliberate decision to continue to sin, that needs to be burned down. If you're holding on to any sin that you're unwilling to release, anything that you're holding on to, my friends, you need to burn that down. You need to be released. You need to turn away, repent, and fully surrender to God. That is the path forward, the path of fulfillment and blessing. Maybe, and this is a tough one, and some of you have wrestled with it as we're a mission organization, maybe the plow is proximity to family. God is calling you or someone you love to move to a different place to serve him, and yet you don't want that to happen. Are you willing to burn that as Elisha was? Recognizing that God's call superseded his commitment even to his own family. And you say, well, Bob, I can't do this. I can't say yes because there's no mission or calling on my life. God hasn't called me to anything. Well, is that really true? You see, we're all saved to serve. There's no one on the sidelines, at least no one is supposed to be on the sidelines. We're all different and unique with our calling, our gifting, But we have a calling to serve. So often, perhaps if there's not clarity, it could be because you've never said yes. Sometimes the yes has to come before the detail of what it's going to be. God doesn't, he doesn't operate this way. He doesn't say, hey, I want to give you an option here. This is what I'd like you to do. Would you let me know whether you're going to do it or not? And then I'll actually commission you if you say yes. That's not how it works. He called you to surrender fully. God, wherever you want me to go, I've decided to follow you wherever that leads. And often the way that we get to the next step is by saying, yes, Lord, I'm willing, instead of sitting back, holding back. So I ask you, are you willing to say yes to whatever he might call you to do? He is looking for a willing heart, a willing heart. And my friends, I would simply say, if you're waiting for a detailed plan of what God wants to do, that what he's going to lead you to do, you're going to wait a long, long time. He just doesn't do that. And maybe you're thinking to yourself, well, Bob, I'm not going to do this. It's just way too risky. It's way too risky. And I believe the devil does use this in many of our lives. I don't want to follow God's plan because it just sounds bad. It's risky. I won't be fulfilled. I won't be happy. It won't be good. And my friends, I would simply say he's a liar. That's not true. It is the fulfilling path for your life. I would argue and I would urge you to consider the fact that failing to say yes to Jesus and follow him into the future is a far greater risk. Think of the Israelites again. Think about it. Here are these people standing on the threshold of the promised land God has put in front of them. They can see it. They're starting to taste it. And yet they were too afraid and didn't have enough faith to walk over into it. They wanted to go back to Egypt. They never made it back to Egypt. So for 40 years, they wandered around in this miserable existence in the desert. And it's sad for me to say that sounds like a lot of Christians I know. Afraid to say yes to Jesus. And so they end up with this existence. This is kind of a desert-like walk with no real destination. It's way riskier to play it safe and say, I'm not going to say yes until I see the guarantees that God has for me. Oh, there's so many tragic examples. The New Testament, a rich young ruler once came to Jesus. He said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, well, you know the commandments of your father, mother, and so forth. And he said, I've done all those things since the time I was a boy. And the Bible says Jesus looked at him and loved him. Jesus understood. He could see the plow in his life. He knew his penchant for money. And he said to him, go, sell everything you have and give to the poor. And the Bible says he looked sad and he left because he had great wealth. The plow that was anchoring him to his present life was money and possessions, and he was unwilling to burn it and to move forward into eternal life. My friends, don't make that mistake. Say yes to him. If you refuse to burn your plows, you will miss out on all that God has for you. I believe God's Spirit is here in this place right now. He's in your home right now. He's speaking into your heart and life. And you may not know exactly what he's calling to you, but maybe you have an inkling of some direction that he's been suggesting and prompting, and it's something in your life. There's something there that he's just kind of touching on right now, and you can feel it. You can sense it. Will you say yes? And in order to say yes, will you burn the bridges and the plows that are needed so that you can move forward? I believe God has a special plan for you. He wants to use you in ways you never imagined. He wants to give you gifts that are indescribable. Oh, he's such a loving, giving God. That's what he wants to do. It's only our lack of faith and disobedience that prevent us from receiving all that he has and reaching the altitude in life that he has called us to reach. I want to read a promise from Jesus, and then we're going to pray, and I'm going to call you to a moment of commitment, a moment of surrender. But I find this promise so wonderful. I've lived in 6 different states. I've moved all over the country, Teresa and I, and our kids live in other places. And so I can attest to this promise, this wonderful promise that Jesus gives to you and to me. The Bible says, Peter said to Jesus, "We have left everything to follow you." "Oh, I tell you the truth," Jesus replied. "No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father, children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age. Homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life." Amen. Oh, he is so good. Don't believe the devil's lie that if you say yes to Jesus, say no to the past, that you will lose everything. When you try to cling to everything is when you lose it. When you let go of it is when you gain it. And so what plow is Jesus calling you today to burn? Will you say yes? And perhaps you can't identify anything right now. So I'm going to close in prayer. And before I do, I'm going to ask you, are you willing to say, "Yes, I've decided I'm going to follow Jesus, wherever that leads, whatever that means. Even if it means being uprooted, even if it, anything. Yes, yes, Jesus, I want to follow you. I don't want anything to hold me back." And if that's your heart, and to the best of your ability, as God enables you, that's what you want to do, I'm going to ask you to stand up, just to stand right where you are and say, "Yes, I'm saying yes, Jesus." Not to go into the mission field today, but I'm just saying, "Yes, I want to do whatever you want me to do," just to stand right where you are right now, and I'm going to pray for you. And if you're at home, I'm asking you to do the same. So don't do it if you don't mean it. Don't do it because somebody else is. But I'm just saying to you, this is God's path and plan for us, is that we walk by faith and we continue forward. We don't settle in to a comfortable life where we kind of put limits on what God wants to do and can do in us. Let's just say, "Yes, God, do whatever you want from here forward. I want to burn any bridge, any plow that would hold me back from your will for me." And as we all step into that, God's going to do wonderful things. So let's pray together. God, we thank you today that you are actively at work in the world today. You are drawing men and women, boys and girls into your kingdom. We know that you are doing an eternal work. And as we look around, we see our lives in disarray. We see our economy failing. We fear for our future. We wonder where we'll live, how we'll support ourselves if things go poorly. And we know, Father, that you're involved in something so much more significant. You are concerned about the eternal destiny of people. So would you today renew our passion to live for you? Renew our passion to go forward and not to stay where we are. That we would be like Elisha, burn whatever plows would hold us back. That we would put a stake in the ground and say, "From this day forward, I want to serve God. I'll go wherever you want me to go. I'll be what you ever want me to be. I'll say whatever you want me to say. Oh God, just show me the way as I walk by faith." And so I pray for my friends, my brothers and sisters at home today who are standing with you and saying yes. My friends and brothers and sisters here. And Father, we know that in ourselves we can't do it. We're weak. We have nothing to offer, but in you and in your Spirit's power within us, oh God, we can do immeasurably more than anything we could ask or imagine because of your power at work within us. So God, come and use us as we humbly take the next step you give us this week. May we represent you well in these dark days. Oh, Spirit of God, come in your fullness. Come in your sweetness. Fill us and empower us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week. Keep following the Spirit.